Durward B. Varner, Sparner, Chancellor of the University of Nebraska and formerly Chancellor of Oakland University, was a close friend of both May and Walter Reuther.
All the civilized world knew Walter Reuther as one of the most powerful figures in the history of organized labor. I knew May and Walter Reuther as devoted, loyal, and proud parents of their two daughters, Linda and Lisa. Those who make the laws of these United States knew Walter Reuther as an eloquent and effective spokesman for ever more humane and adequate legislation in the broad area of human welfare. I knew May and Walter Reuther as staunch and consistent friends of Oakland University, dedicated to helping build this young institution into a major university for the benefit of education in general, but for their community in particular. The power structure of the nation knew Walter Reuther as a leading and vigorous champion of programs to improve the quality of the environment in which we all live and work. I knew May and Walter Reuther as the organizers of a community campaign to clean up picturesque Paint Creek, which encircled their simple home, so the neighborhood could enjoy today and tomorrow the natural beauty of that little stream. The political establishment knew Walter Reuther as an articulate, dynamic, and persuasive political force whose influence could affect in a major way the outcome of national elections. I knew May and Walter Reuther as effective members of the Rochester Parent Teachers Association, working for better schools for their children and for their neighbors' children. The concerned leaders of the nation, of the world, knew Walter Reuther as the leader of a persistent and determined battle for basic human rights, with the goal of achieving a minimum level of dignity for all mankind. I knew May and Walter Reuther as early and unwavering colleagues in the establishment of the Meadowbrook Music Festival and the Meadowbrook Theater, so their people too could share in the riches and the beauty and the dignity of the arts. The leaders of industry knew Walter Reuther in the heat of the bargaining room, where he labored with dramatic effectiveness to better the conditions of existence for all those whom he represented. I knew May and Walter Reuther in the warm glow of their gaily decorated home at the Christmas season, where we exchanged simple gifts: Texas pecans from our family, Grandmother Reuther's homemade wine from theirs. I, too, knew Walter Reuther as a leader of enormous power and influence and impact in the world. But much more importantly, I had the rich privilege of knowing May and Walter Reuther as parents, as neighbors, as people. I have lost personal friends. So, too, have the poor and the disadvantaged all over the world. I have been enriched because of their existence. So too has the human race. I shall miss them sorely. So too shall all mankind.
Rabbi Jacob J. Weinstein, Rabbi Emeritus of Temple KAM in Chicago, who speaks next, served on the UAW's Public Review Board.
When the dire and dreadful news came to me, the words of Chaim Nachman Bialik, the poet of the Hebrew Renaissance, flashed before my mind's eye. Haya ha'ish uru einenu od, kodem zamano met ha'ish hazeh, Beshirat Chayov Beemtso Nifsaka. There was a man, and behold, he is no more. Before his time, he was taken away, and the song of his life was interrupted. And now we are engaged in launching his tradition. In a sense, this memorial service is the birthday of his immortality. We, his mourners, begin today to build upon the tradition which his life's work so firmly founded, and thus we may convert a part of the leaden stuff of grief which weighs upon our hearts into the gold of memory, and transmute our common sorrow into the ideals and acts which gave purpose and direction to his life and placed him among the dozen men of our generation who engraved the seal of their convictions and their character on the pattern of our national, yea, and of our international life. Walter was a prophetic environmentalist. 45 years ago, his quick and ardent spirit spotted the areas of pollution in our industrial, political, and social order. He saw that the working man had become a hand, often a poorly paid hand. He saw the machine and its owner extract the pound energy of that hand and ignore the mind and the heart that made it human. Walter Reuther insisted that the magnates of industry recognize the human factors in that abstract cost item which they and their computers designated as labor costs. His travels in Europe and Russia when still a young man convinced him that the assembly line was irreversible. Man could no longer return to the hand plow and the horse and buggy. The task before us, he often reminded us, was to humanize the machine, make it our servant and not our master. Tenacious, even dogmatic in his ultimate goals, he was supple and flexible enough to follow the changing patterns of the interplay of man and machine, of ownership and management. As corporations proliferated and pyramided, he brooded over the ever more subtle and complicated interplay of management and labor, of government and consumer. He was among the first to recognize that moment when automation made quantitative change qualitative, speeded evolution into revolution, and therefore demanded an entirely new orientation in determining the just due of management and labor in the division of the industrial profit. In this agonizing reappraisal, Walter Reuther gave the world of labor and of the consumer unfailing and perceptive leadership. When one adds to his many brilliant expositions of the good society, which might be possible, he dreamed, through the viable interaction of a free enterprise economy in a social welfare state, when I say one adds to these glorious visionary messages that he gave like Amos did in Tekoa, such creative innovations as supplementary unemployment benefits, the guaranteed annual wage, retirement and sickness insurance, yes, and the Public Review Board, which I am honored to serve because he was so sure and so completely at home in the conviction that labor was innately democratic and right and just, that he was willing to put the decisions of his executive board under the scrutiny of an independent board. I say when one adds these innovative techniques to the glorious contour of his vision, one can see the entire lineament of a society where men can be unto their fellow men friends. In my tradition, dear friends, we are bidden to take toll of death by seeking instruction from it. We ask ourselves, what were the sources of his incredible energy, his unyielding will, his dauntless courage, his passionate loyalty to his ideals. There was his father, Valentin, and mother, Ruther, whose Protestant socialism and evangelical humanism early informed the hearts and minds of all the Ruther children and served as the spiritual springboard from which they plunged into so many of the crucial issues involving the betterment of man and his society. There was the constant support and warm-hearted partnership of May, who comforted and counseled him through the myriad crises of their public life, and who added a note of benign and beautiful grace to all our family union gatherings. Her descent from the Deborahs and Esthers of the Bible gave her a profound understanding of the agonies and the ecstasies of the prophetic vocation. They were together in life and now are together in death. Our hearts go out to Linda and Lisa. They have shared their parents with all the dispossessed children of our land. Would that we could share their grief as generously as they have shared their parents' love for us. There were moments in the past several years when violence became the general mood of our time, when our government became more deeply mired in a futile and immoral war, when the powers and potentates of America showed themselves to be men who think a little but chiefly forget, when friends and colleagues in the labor world sometimes could not hear the still small voice of conscience nor the rolling of that distant drum. Then Walter turned more and more to thoughts of his Camelot, his Gan Eden, his Garden of Eden, the beautiful city he was building on Black Lake, where the UAW family might escape the harsh pressures of our city, and in a congenial and beautiful setting, find a Sabbath for their souls, take counsel with one another, sit at the feet of the wise and learned men, renew their spirits that they might return with a clearer vision and steadfast strength to the workaday world and rebuild it closer to the heart's desire. As Moses brought the people of Israel to the promised land and was himself denied entrance to it, though he glimpsed it from afar, so Walter Ruther was denied by an act of fate the personal enjoyment of this most precious dream. He enters instead that luminous land, which, like the space between the air and the jet wing, is the radiance of his memory in our hearts. Grateful for all he meant to us, and loyal to the values of his bone and flesh of his flesh, we shall be his surrogates in the warm valley of life, and by assuming the burdens he so gallantly bore, fighting for the causes he so bravely led, assure his immortality and bind him in the cluster of eternal life.